Welcome back, and let's get into a really useful advanced ENB move, stretching an old-school sub-sign in Ableton Live 12 without wrecking your headroom. This is one of those skills that sounds simple on paper, but in a roller or jungle-influenced tune, it can make the difference between a bass line that feels huge and one that just turns the whole mix into soup. The goal here is not just to make the sub longer. The goal is to make it longer, keep it mono, keep it deep, keep it controlled, and make sure it still works when the drums, breaks, atmospheres, and any res layers all come in at once. So let's think like a bass engineer for a minute. In drum and bass, the sub is doing a job every bar. It's supporting the kick, shaping the groove, and leaving enough room for the rest of the track to breathe. If the sub is unstable, too wide, too loud, or too smeared by warping, the whole tune shrinks. First, choose the source carefully. Start with a clean sign or sign-like sample. If you've got a short old-school sub-sign stab, that's perfect. Load it into Sampler, and before you do anything fancy, inspect the sample. Trim off any unnecessary click or transient if it's not part of the vibe you want. For a clean low end, start with Sampler in classic mode, and keep warp off it first. If the sample already sounds like a pure low sign, you often don't need aggressive time stretching at all. In fact, if you can get away with leaving warp off and using MIDI note length to control the note duration, that is usually the cleanest route. Now, if the sample has to be tempo synced, then test warp carefully. For pure sub material, avoid modes that add texture or smear the low end. Repitch is often a solid choice, and tone can work too. Complex Pro is usually only worth considering if the source has some tonal movement you really need to preserve. Otherwise, keep it simple. The cleaner the source, the easier the mix. A great advanced habit here is to compare the warped and unwarped versions by bouncing them and looking at the waveform. If the stretched version starts showing uneven cycles or little ripples in the low end, that's a sign the warp method is getting too clever for the material. In DNB, clever is great, but not if it eats your foundation. Next, build the bass line as MIDI first. Don't think of this as sound design yet. Think of it as writing a groove. At 170 BPM, even a very simple sub pattern can feel strong if the note placement is right. A classic approach is to write a 2-bar or a 4-bar phrase, hold a root note for one or two beats, answer with shorter notes on offbeats, leave a gap for the snare to breathe, and maybe add a pickup note into the next phrase. That call and response energy is a big part of old-school DNB feel. Keep it monophonic, one voice only. If you want slides between notes, use a little glide or portamento, but keep it subtle. You're aiming for smooth and purposeful, not sloppy and wobbly. A short glide can make the bass feel alive, especially when it's answering the drums. Now let's talk about the envelope, because this is where stretched subs either stay disciplined or fall apart. A long note can easily bloom too much after stretching, which is a problem when the track gets dense. So keep the attack very fast, basically immediate. Keep the release short so the tail doesn't smear into the next hit. If the note feels too flat, you can add a tiny bit of movement at the start with envelope shaping, but the idea is to preserve the fundamental energy, not overexcite it. Long subs are exposed. They don't hide under chords. They need to behave. Before adding any character, clean the signal. Put EQ8 and utility on the bass chain. With EQ8, high pass only if there is useless rumble below the fundamental. Sometimes a gentle cut around 20 to 30 HE is enough. If the sample has mud in the low mids, a small cut in the 120 to 250 HE range can help, but don't overdo it. And definitely don't start boosting the sub area just because it looks weak on the meter. In DNB, arrangement and gain staging usually solve that faster than a boost does. Then use utility to keep the sub properly centered. Width at 0%, straight mono, that's the move. Keep any stereo interest for higher layers later on, not for the foundation. If you want to separate sub from character, split the sound into two chains in an audio effect rack. One chain stays focused on the sub, low passed so it only keeps the weight. The other chain can handle the audible character, high passed so it doesn't fight the root. That way, your clean foundation stays clean, and your translation layer does the job of being heard on smaller speakers. Now for the fun part. Saturation, but carefully. This is where you make the sub audible without just making it louder. Saturator is your friend here. Start gently. A couple dB of drive can beat enough. Use soft clipping if the sub is spiking. And always trim the output back, so the processed sound matches the bypass level as closely as possible. That's a huge headroom habit. You want the bass to feel bigger because it translates better, not because the meter is jumping higher. If you want a dirtier edge, drum bus can work too, but keep the drive low and usually leave boom off for a pure sub lane. If you're going for grimy rollers, tiny amounts of extra crunch can help, but again, the point is audibility, not volume inflation. At this stage, monitor the peak meter like a hawk. A lot of producers get tricked into thinking they need a louder sub, when what they really need is a more readable sub. Those are not the same thing. Once the sound is working, resample it. This is a very powerful Ableton move. Create a new audio track, record the bass chain, and print the result that locks in the tone and makes the next steps easier. After resampling, trim the clip neatly, make sure the waveform starts cleanly, and consolidate phrases if needed. If the timing is already good, don't immediately warp it again. Let the audio be audio. That's one of the advantages of sampling first workflow. Once you've got the movement and tone right, you can treat it like a finished instrument. Now let's lock the bass to the drums, because in DNB the bass doesn't exist alone. It lives with the break. A lot of people overuse sidechain compression here. Instead, think groove first. Place your bass notes around the kick and snare so they complement the break instead of fighting it. Let the bass hit just after the kick in some spots. Leave room on snare hits. Use shorter notes when the drum pattern gets busier, and longer notes when the arrangement opens up. If you do sidechain, keep it light, just enough to clear space, not enough to make the sub pump dramatically. You usually want a subtle, musical duck, not an obvious breathing effect unless that's part of the style. You can also do tiny gain automation moves by hand. Even a half dB or 1 dB dip before a snare can make the groove feel more engineered and professional. This is the kind of detail that really matters in DNB. The drums are fast and full of transient information, so the bass has to dance around them. If the sub is always in the way, the track feels smaller even if it's louder. Now build movement with automation. A stretched sub can get static if you just loop it forever, so shape the phrase over time. Open a filter a little in the bars leading into the drop. Increase saturation very slightly in the last part of a section. Pull the bass down a touch during a fill so the impact lands harder. Maybe send the final note of a phrase to reverb, then cut it hard when the next section hits. These are small moves, but they create energy. Think in arrangement stages too. Maybe the intro has a filtered sub teaser under the breaks. Then the first drop gives you sparse sub with lots of room. The middle of the drop gets denser, maybe with octave movement or short syncopated answers. Then the breakdown removes the sub almost completely, and the second drop brings back a more printed, slightly dirtier version. That kind of contrast makes the tune feel like it's moving somewhere. And always check everything in context. Soloing the sub can lie to you. Put it against the full break, the kick and snare, any pad or atmospheric layer, and any mid-bass or reese you're using. Check mono compatibility. Check headroom on the bass bus. Check whether the kick still punches through. If the bass feels too big, reduce harmonics before you reduce the actual sub level. That's an important lesson here. Consistency beats brute force. A controlled stretched sub that sits right in the mix will hit harder than a huge one that eats all your space. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overwarp the sample. Don't pile on saturation too early. Don't leave the sub stereo. Don't make long notes loud just because they feel weak. And don't ignore the kick-sub relationship. If the kick loses definition, the sub is probably starting too early, too long, or too hot. A really strong advanced trick is to keep one reference note in the loop. Find the note that feels perfect, and compare every edit against that. It keeps you from overprocessing the whole line while trying to solve one small problem. You can also alternate clean and dirty versions. Use the clean sub as your foundation. Then bring in a lightly saturated resample for fills or the final bars of a section. Or create a version with negative space, where half the notes are removed. If that stripped version still grooves, you know the bass line is strong. Another powerful move is to use note length as a compositional tool. Two bass lines can use the exact same notes and feel completely different just because one uses clipped stabs and the other uses held tones. In DNB, length is often just as important as pitch. So here's the core takeaway. Start with the cleanest possible sine-like source. Stretch it with the simplest method that preserves the low end. Keep it mono and envelope controlled. Add harmonics carefully, and always judge it inside the full drum and bass context. The best sub isn't the one that looks biggest on the meter. It's the one that holds the room together without stealing headroom. Now go build that roller foundation, print it, compare it, refine it, and make that low end feel deep, clean, and deadly.